It's time now for the KUMD Bear Grease Report.
This report is brought to you by the Trail Center Lodge up north in the Gunflint Trail, Racy's Tasty Dog Treats of Bayfield, and Energy Plus of Duluth.
Jason Rice, this morning of the John Bear Grease Sled Dog Marathon, joins us from the finish line at Billy's, just north of Duluth. Good morning there, Jason. Do we have another finisher across the line?
Yeah, we do. About 5 minutes ago, actually, Ryan Anderson came across in second place for this year's Bear Grease, and he had a happy, healthy-looking dog team.
How many dogs did he have left?
I think I counted 10. Don't hold me to that. I'm mighty tired, but it looked like 10 dogs in line to me there.
Now, here is a question for you. Ryan Reddington, we've talked a lot about Ryan Reddington and his strategy of running fast, taking minimal breaks at the beginning to try to build up as big a lead as possible. You also talked a lot about Ryan Anderson's very disciplined strategy. It was a different strategy, but it was very disciplined. He, like Ryan Reddington, had doubled up, as you mentioned, on the training time that he spent with his dogs. I don't suppose you've had a chance to really talk with him, or have you talked with him during the race? And is he rethinking that strategy at all? He was, of course, our Bear Grease winner last year.
Oh, with Ryan Anderson. No, I really haven't bumped into Ryan Anderson nearly as much this year. He just keeps running the same good old successful style he's always run. I think the big difference this year, if you look at it, really, Anderson doesn't appear to have done anything wrong whatsoever. He came in at a good, respectable time this morning. The difference is just Reddington just did it a lot faster. There almost isn't another way to put it. Strategy is great, but at the end of the day, the fastest dog team from checkpoint to checkpoint is still going to be the winner, and that's just what happened. He had the fastest dogs, and he had what they call a magic carpet ride this year.
That was going to be my next question, of course. We were so thrilled that you agreed to write an essay on, a little article for us on race strategy. How much, as a musher begins to prepare for a race like this, is the idea of playing to your strengths as they're formulating a strategy, and how much is a reaction to the competition?
You know, that question's been coming up quite a bit this morning. Will other mushers try and adjust their game plans or their training, or what will they do to try and do this differently? Because Ryan's pretty much shown how he's going to run this race. This is pretty much what I think we can expect from him. Straightforward. There wasn't any secret takeoff from a checkpoint. There was no, hey, I'm gonna blow through this checkpoint. Nobody thinks that I will. There really wasn't any big shocking surprise. He just ran faster, and that was really the secret formula. He trained to go faster. So other mushers are probably just going to have to keep on doing what they are doing, which is in the off season they're looking for to whittle it down to those fastest of their fastest dogs, and then bottom line, put a lot of training miles on them, so that by the time they get to the starting line of Bear Grease, they've got so many miles on them that it's really not as difficult.
It's just it's just another Tuesday, for example.
right. The big difference for Reddington himself this year was doubling his training miles. That was probably the biggest difference. He learned how tough the hills were last year. Being from Alaska, he wasn't quite used to all these shorter hills. He's used to long, flat stretches. For instance, in the Iditarod, running, for several hundred miles down the flat Yukon River. Then having to climb a couple of mountain ranges. But that's long and gradual. The Bear Grease is lots of these 100 and 200 foot high climbs and then back down. But it's just over and over and over. That's why they call it the Sawtooth Mountains, just up, down, up, down, up, down. It's not a long up and a long down.
If other mushers begin, really, again, a push to whittle down, to breed, to look toward faster and faster dogs, does this and I suppose it's going to take a little time for folks to think about the implications, but does this seem like a good, healthy move for the Bear Grease as a whole, Or is this the kind of thing where you start being concerned that people might be pushing, as John Stetson put it, overrunning their dogs?
Sure. You know, that question really came up last year with Ryan jumping out to such a fast early start, and then dogs were just getting tired out very soon in the race last year for him. And so he was down to six dogs for that last whole several legs of Homeward Bound stretch. And it probably is attributable to the fact that, you know, he had run them fast in training, but he hadn't run them fast for as many miles of training. So by the time they hit about a 200-mile mark last year, if you notice, they were prepared to go fast for 200 miles. They weren't prepared to go fast for more than that. This year, his times coming back down the shore were very similar to the same times he had when the dogs were fresh going up the shore. That's a sign that those dogs were extremely prepared and they were not going too fast. We always, you know, we always want to see teams only doing what's reasonable to expect from the dog team. And it very quickly becomes apparent if a dog team can't maintain a pace. Ryan's dogs came in here still happy, chowing down food. The attitude was good. Look, will he always be able to do it this fast? Everybody's assuming now that just because he did it this way this year and had this success, that it's repeatable. There's no guarantee of that. The same exact dogs and the same musher next year could be the ones coming in second place finishing at 7:30 in the morning. There's a big chunk of this has to be attributed to absolutely nothing went wrong for him. Okay, he missed most of the heavy parts of the snow up north. He was out of some of these checkpoints before the snow came in and added up. One thing you could say that Anderson and Eiley and others faced coming out of Sawville and running down to Finland, all of a sudden they had 2-3 inches of fresh snow that they're slogging through. That's not major, but it's enough to slow the team down a mile an hour or two, and that's a big difference maker.
Who is on the pace now to come in third, fourth, and fifth place, Jason?
I believe, and I haven't looked at the tracker in a bit here because I've had a lot of calls just like this one that I've been on. So I believe that the next one we're expecting in, though, should be Denny Tremblay from Canada, is, I believe, who we've got coming in next.
Fantastic. Well, you've got those calls to field this morning, and thank you, Jason, so much for joining us. And thank you, of course, for your generosity of time and information through all of our Bear Grease coverage right here on KUMD.
You're welcome. It's always fun. Thank you.
This KUMD Bear Grease Report is brought to you by Bearskin Lodge, midway up the Gunflint Trail, and by Energy Plus of Duluth.